Welcome to Hard Drive Ministries, where we believe the body of Christ is a living, breathing, moving organism. Enjoy the message.
What's going on in the world? You know exactly what's going on with you in truth. Amen?
That's right.
And that's one of the things that cults also do. They find people that don't know anything that's going wrong, and they try to teach them what's going on. See, the Bible and Christ teaches you what's going on. We are fully aware of what's going on. Amen?
That's right, brother. That's right.
And I just want to say my word with hesitation, you know, becoming a 35-year-old in this life right now, that I'm completely humbled. And I didn't pick up this ministry. I ain't looked one day. When I got saved, I was in the Pentecostalism, and I was about to drown in that stuff. And I had to, you know, get out of that. They had me tarrying for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was already in me. This is my testimony now.
Amen,
and I was
sitting
there, laying in there. And I was like, you know, I read the word and realized the Spirit of God's already at work in me. Why I'm waiting for something that's already in me?
Amen.
And then I moved from that, and I got in the truth, and I started reading the word, and I wanted the Holy Spirit to teach me, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the teacher. It's not no quest for knowledge that we go on the rooftop. It's not in one man. The Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Amen.
And I thank God today that I am in truth. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in John, he said, I delight that my children walk in truth. Mm-hmm. Amen. And I just want to encourage you guys all to make sure y'all are in truth. Amen. Because that's what this ministry is about. We're about the truth.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Wonderful testimony, Brother Mike. I'm encouraged by your testimony. I just want to say I love you, brother, and I'm glad to see what God is doing in your life, and I praise God for that.
Amen.
What a blessing. Amen. Any other testimonies?
I just wanted to say a quick testimony before I share the word. One thing I always wanted when I first realized that I had to preach the truth. It's one thing, and my main emphasis is for me to not be in the forefront, to not make the gospel about me, about my gift, about me preaching, like people focusing on me, like the gospel flows through me to the congregation and the God. Most fellowships, their whole fellowship rotates around the pastor. The pastor is in the middle. I wanted Christ to have that spot. I never wanted to be that person where people, you know, everybody knew that it came through me. I always wanted people, because, you know, I was thinking, you know, I visited my neighborhood, and as I was driving through where I grew up this week, I drove through a part, and I remember how everybody was so keen on making a name for themselves. Like, and it took me back to the scripture when Nimrod said, let us make a name for ourselves, right? And the only name we should be concerned about is Christ.
Amen.
Is making his name great.
Amen.
Is lifting up his name.
That's right.
But we live in a society, even in our fellowships and in certain organizations, I say, everybody knows the name of that preacher, that person. Mm-hmm. Even if you look at the gospels, right? Mm-hmm. We see their names. But the original manuscripts, none of them put their names on it. They had to investigate to say, okay, Luke wrote this. Matthew wrote this. John wrote this. You know, Mark. But their names are not on the original manuscript. They didn't even want to be identified. They didn't want to care if anybody knew who they was. But we live in a society today where everybody cares that people know them. And they know it's me singing the song or me preaching the word. And we can't have that attitude. And God showed me that you got to draw to the back and push my son to the front. Let him do the work. Don't worry about that way, when you go through what you go through, ain't nobody focusing on you. They're going to focus on him.
Amen.
And they're going to keep serving him and keep it popping. Pray for you. Pray for Brother Kevin. They're going to keep serving the Lord. Amen? And that's what I wanted to instill in people with. When God gave me this, you know, this responsibility to preach the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Sister, I'll get back to you.
Amen. Any more other testimonies?
I would just say the favor of the Lord just rests in the workplace when you are a Christian and you pray and you believe. And I can say my testimony is that God has definitely had favor on me and my job. And that I come across a lot of people who are not in Christ, a lot of people who have Hindu beliefs, belief systems, a lot of people who are atheists, a lot of people who try to inadvertently in the education system push their beliefs, even though they may not call it what the ism is. And God, just through prayer with Mike this week, has really shown me to just trust him in everything. Because men will give into your bosom. They most certainly will. Mm-hmm. When they know that the favor of God rests on you.
Mm-hmm.
And they will, your enemies will be your footstools. And so I just thank God for the favor at my job. And when I'm out in the street and when wherever I have a place to be around people, I thank God that the favor rests on me.
Mm.
And I just decrease and allow him to increase in those moments.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any other testimonies?
I just want to thank God, you know, for strength, really, because I have a lot, like, going on. I have a lot on my plate as far as my health issues, and I'm, like, constantly getting hurt, like, daily. But I thank God for, you know, still putting strength in my body to make it here, because, to be honest, I didn't feel like coming today. But I said to myself, like, I was like, what if God just, like, you know what? I don't feel like giving you strength today.
Amen.
I don't feel like, you know, waking you up, you know, daily. You know, looking out for you daily. You know, what if God just took it off, you know? So I just pushed myself, you know, and I got here. And I just thank God for that.
Yes. God bless us. We, the people of old used to say there's a blessing in the pressing. Used to hear, like, old people and my grandmother and whatnot used to say, you know, press on. I believe I'll press on to see what the end going to be. And that this walk, you know, God never said it would be easy, but he did promise to be with us, to never leave us, you know, in any situation. You know, he doesn't leave us or forsake us. And his ear is always inclined, the word says, to the cry of his children. So we call on his name just because there's power in his name. It's power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, we got to remember that.
One thing I want to add something real quick. When I was younger than the Lord, Alejandro, just to encourage you.
Amen.
And I remember, you know, one day I was sharing a word, and a guy looked at me. He said, how you know so much? Like, how can you get so studious and gain so much knowledge of the word? I said, because anytime the Bible study is going forth, I was there.
Amen.
When I first got saved, I didn't miss no Bible
study. No, he did not.
Amen.
Not
Amen.
One. I don't care where I was at, brother. I dropped it off, dropped the chick off. I'm sorry, I got to leave. I came to Bible study.
Amen.
And one thing about you, I see how powerful you're growing. I'm going to tell you, you're growing, brother, because every time the Bible's open, you hear. That's why you're growing so much. That's how I do it. I didn't want to miss any studies. It was so important to me to understand that time was going to come, Alejandro, when I was going to have this. Mm. They wasn't going to be around. Mm. And I was going to have the saints and stuff like that. Remember, you know, when early in the church, you know, they came together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And God was like, that's nice. Mm-hmm. God sent persecution to the land. Mm-hmm. They went all their separate ways. But they went, the gospel went them ways too. But if they didn't take that time to get together and fellowship like that, they wouldn't have what they had to hold their own.
One thing I would add to that, say, I remember I was going through so much in my life, and I didn't feel like doing the Bible study. I was telling him, look, yo, I can't go no more. I was discouraged, right? Mm-hmm. And Mike would still come with his Bible and just knock on my door. I'd be like, yo, what's up? Brother, ain't got nothing to do with me, brother. Let's go sit down right there. Let's just go over this. What you said last week? I'd be like, all right, brother, let's go. He just knock on my door, being there, stressed out, sitting in the dark. Brother, hey, how you doing with his Bible? What's going on? I'm sorry about all that. Sit down, brother. Let's get this word, brother. I ain't got that. Don't take it out on me.
Amen.
Sorry, brother.
Amen.
Let's go.
Amen. That's all. Amen.
I know, brother. I know.
You said in Luke, right? Let's go over that one last. We'll be there for 2 hours.
Amen. Amen.
All right, brother.
That's powerful.
That.
God used you mighty.
Just press out like that, brother.
You got to press, brother.
Believe
Amen.
It's going to pay so much dividend, brother.
There
you're
is
see,
a blessing
you're
in the pressing.
You're
going to
thank God
today.
I'm going to thank God that I went to Bible study. Trust me, brother.
It's Amen.
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 Amen. I know. I felt it, brother. I kept. Y'all see, y'all don't know. Alejandro go through a lot, man. Not to be funny, like a 400-pound one of his patients fell on him, carrying him up the steps, right? He fell on him, brother, him and his other. And he had a helper, right? I don't mean, God, forgive me. I don't mean to joke on people, right? And they, he works with the Amulet. He was carrying the lady, and she fell and on him and his friend. And he had to go to the hospital. And when he first told me, I was laughing so loud, right? And she got mad at me. She said, bro, that ain't funny, you know? You need to call the brother back, say sorry. You got to stop playing so much. I said, you know what? But he works hard, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes when we work and we get our little days off, brother, we just want to lay there. We don't want to run around and sin and mess with this one or do nothing. We want to stay home and just lay there and don't move, you know. And, you know, especially when we working, you know, and I understand, bro. I just want to tell you I understand, brother. You went through a lot this week. Amen.
Amen.
We love you all.
And we just nah, continue said, you to know pray what, your brother? Strength in the Lord. You're supposed to be a Christian. You're laughing. That is not
Bible says
fun.
That's right. I put away right. Laughing and
joking. I had to type it. Alejandro was like, yo, you're right. Yeah, he's like, yeah, that's serious. I said, nah, brother, I'm sorry, bro.
He said he was going to make it into a comedy skit. I said, what? Okay.
So that's not funny, bro.
Got to encourage the brother. That's what we're here to do, encourage the brethren.
We got some songs for us.
I want to read Psalms 100. It says to, and I want to sing a song, and after that, I'm going to turn it over to you, brother. Right. It says, Psalms 100, I love the word of God because not only encourage us, but it strengthens us. God, this is what the Lord says. He says, this is a psalm of praise to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It says, all the land. So all you out there that's listening, it says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is good. It says, it is he that has made us and not we ourselves.
Amen.
We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures throughout all generations. Amen?
Amen.
May God bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
So let's worship and praise God.
Amen.
Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard.
Amen.
All you have planned for me.
Amen.
And nothing can separate me from your love. Cause there's so much more worth fighting for.
Amen, amen.
Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, all you have planned for me. Hallelujah. And nothing can separate me from your love.
Amen.
Cause there's so much more still worth fighting for.
Amen.
Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, all you have planned for me. And nothing can separate me from your love, cause there's so much more you're worth fighting for. Hallelujah. Let's sing praises to the Lord. See if you catch the song. Singing praises to the King, for he is the King of Kings.
Amen.
Singing praises to the King, for he is the King of Kings. Simple song. Singing praises to the King, for he is the King of Kings. We're singing praises to the King, for he is the King of Kings.
Amen.
We give him the glory, for he is the King. We give him the glory. For he is the King of Kings, singing praises to the King. For he is the King of Kings,
amen.
Singing praises to the King. For he is the King of Kings,
amen.
We give him the glory. For he is the King, we give him the glory.
Amen.
For he is the King of Kings.
Say it
again. Singing praises to the King, for he is the King of Kings. We sing your praises to the King, for he is the King of Kings. We give him the glory.
Amen.
For he is the King.
Amen.
We give him the glory. For he is the King of Kings. We give him the glory. For he is the King. We give him the glory. For he is the King of Kings. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All hail Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Sing it to the King. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. Hallelujah. All hail Emmanuel. Hallelujah. He reigns forever. Take it up. He reigns forever. He reigns forever. He reigns forever and evermore. He reigns forever.
Amen.
He reigns forever.
Amen.
He reigns forever and evermore. He reigns forever.
Yes, he
does. He reigns forever. He reigns forever.
Uh-oh.
And evermore. He reigns forever.
Yes, he does.
He reigns forever.
Ever and ever.
He reigns forever.
Ever and ever
and
ever.
Evermore. He reigns forever. He reigns forever. He reigns forever. And evermore. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give God a praise. Hallelujah. God reigns forever. Amen. And evermore. The word says so. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God reigns forever. Hallelujah. Brother Calvin, we'll turn the service over here.
Amen.
Off the word. Amen.
I want to add to that. She said something powerful. I went through a situation today and I was very discouraged. You know, people are quick to always say what you've done. You know, you did this, you did that, you know. We always try to make ourselves seem like we're victims, you know, but in all actuality, because we're sinners, we're victimizers. God is the only victim, you know, and we're sinners. And it said a lot of things to me and I was discouraged, you know. And one thing Satan wants to do to us and make is make us believe that we can't do this. Mm-hmm. That we ain't got it. Mm-hmm. That we need to hang it up, give it up. And when she said that, she sung that song, it kind of encouraged me. And I went to this verse because this verse, I love this verse because when me and Mike used to like this video called Peter and Paul, powerful movie.
Amen.
And we used to watch it. We watched it a few times. I saw it and gave it to Mike. And there's a part in there where I don't care who you are, even though it was Anthony Hopkins and they was acting. You cry. Mm-hmm. Whoever I know got to that particular part at the end when they hung Peter upside down because he said he wasn't worthy to be crucified like his Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's tradition said that's true. Peter said, turn me around.
Mm-hmm.
But he was somewhere way in a remote village. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he was in Rome. He was like in this little small village somewhere. And it was just a couple of people around and a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And when he turned around upside down, they read this scripture and it just hits you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me when she sung it today. And it says that, let me get you guys. It says that, who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
He says, shall tribulation
mm-hmm.
or distress or persecution or famine mm-hmm. or nakedness or pearl or sword? He said, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. He said, nay, but in all things we are more than conquerors through him, speaking of Jesus, that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us
Amen.
From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus,
Amen.
Our Lord. Not even ourselves.
Amen.
When God loves you and he puts his love on your life and he mm-hmm. calls you to his son, nothing can separate. We can't even do it.
Amen.
He said anything. Paul covered the coat. And what blew me away that Peter was all the way out there in that remote village by himself. All alone. Just him and a couple of centurions and that little boy looking at him, and he wasn't separated.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's what God showed mm-hmm. me. I love that. Because mm-hmm. sometimes we think we could do it. Our flesh, our little failures, and nothing. Mm-hmm. Christ said he loves you, it's forever.
Right.
It's not like man. He said, am I a man that I should lie?
Right.
He said, I'm not like man.
Right.
If I say I love you, ain't tomorrow you hurt my feelings, you know what, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, get out, pack your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I say I love you, mm-hmm. it's permanent. Amen?
Amen, mm-hmm. brother, amen.
Anyway, we're going
to... Glory to God.
I thought that was powerful. She sung that song. It really encouraged me. I need to hear that.
Amen.
God was speaking to me. He said, Calvin, nothing's going to separate you from me. Don't worry about that.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times. And get up again.
Amen.
7 is God's number of infinity. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Meaning that a righteous man will keep stumbling, but he'll get up and keep going. But a wicked man just falls once.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. Mm. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I was talking to her the other day. I was at the mall, you know. I turned 50 this week. Last week, I think. When did I turn 50? Three weeks ago. But it seems like yesterday. And, you know, me, I still dress it young. And a little, you know, how I act. And I seen the guy, a guy, he really, you know, he's an elder or something.
Deacon.
No, he's an elder. He said he got elevated. He said, "Yo, brother, I can't elevate us. You got elevated, brother. What? See, yeah, I'm a elder now." I said, "Amen, brother. Good friend of mine. I like this guy though, right?" Mm-hmm. But he looked at me. He said, "Brother, you know what I'm saying? Tell him I see you looking all young. Look at you." I said, "Yeah, brother. I dress young, but my gospel is old."
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I preach that old gospel. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I like that old gospel that Peter and Paul, that the apostles taught. Amen. I preach that gospel. Amen. You know, people want to change the word. You know, don't get me wrong. The gospel was tailor made to fit any society.
Amen. Right.
That's it's right. Tailor-made. That's why the gospel had to come, because the Old Testament couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So God is a genius. Mm-hmm. So he gave us the gospel, because the gospel could go through any generation, any society,
right,
and people could get saved.
That's
people right. can know Jesus.
That's right.
Right? It's tailor-made, right? But at the same time, we preach that old gospel.
That's right.
We like them old hymns. Even if you see how this service is set, it's like an old type of flow, too.
Amen,
it's
amen.
Not this new. You know, some service, they doing, you know, they doing a wop, the spank, you know, old dances, they shaking, they show, the choir's getting down, their uniform, they getting down with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But not us. We like simple songs.
Amen.
Simple gospel. We like that old way. We do. Mm-hmm. Long as it's lining up with scripture, we like it. You know, mm-hmm. So my point is, we act young. Even in this ministry, I look at these, even Mike, and we carry ourselves kind of young, because the gospel is like drinking from the fountain of youth.
Amen.
It keeps you young. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a young boy, I was about 20 something years old, and there was this Sister Monique. I used to like her too. She used to come in when I was in prison, right? I thought she was my age. She looked so young. Mm-hmm. I said, "Sister Monique, you know, you don't mind me asking, how old are you, sister?" She said, "I'm 50. I said, 50? I was about 22. This sister looked like she was 18. Wow. She said, "Jesus keep you young, bro.
Amen.
Stay in Christ." I said, "Okay, amen." That's the fountain. Like drinking from the fountain of you. Because God, he don't keep us young just so we can look good. That's but he right. know we got a work to do. Amen?
Amen.
And we said this on, I don't know which one of the messages, that we can't be sitting around wasting up grace.
Mm.
You know, when God gives you grace, it ain't for us to just be us to be bragging. I'm saved by grace, and we still doing wrong and doing this and doing that. Mm. As soon as somebody throws something in our face, shut up, I'm saved by grace. No, grace is so we can finish the race.
That's right.
And
that's
we can
right,
do
brother.
The things God called us to do.
Because
we're going to need some grace, because we got a lot of issues.
That's right, brother.
Especially in today's society, our generation just contaminated us, you know? Mm. We got a lot of, so we need that grace. But that grace, so we could just live a life that we want to live, a life apart from Christ, but a life that can finish the race and
that's
do
right.
what God called us to do, regardless of our shortcomings and failures. Amen?
That's right, brother. That's right.
But anyway, I want to go over. We've been, this is the third part of the series.
Amen.
We got two parts. It's already on the internet. This is the third part. And I thought it was going to be a two-part series, but I was going so long, end up into three parts. And this is the climax. But I want to recap a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Pastor Ron asked me to make it a little more. He was listening to it. He said, "Brother, you need to be a little more clearer, because the title of the message is, it's all sin the same." Because I was speaking to a friend of mine. And he was like, "Yo, brother, all sin is the same." God said, I said, "I don't know about that." Because if all sin was the same, you know, because you got two types of sinners. You got born again sinners. You got unregenerated sinners. When you're born again, you're in Christ.
Amen.
So your sins are covered.
Amen.
When you're not, you're out there. So God don't deal with all sin the same. And all sin ain't the same in God's sight. This is what we were trying to get to. I didn't say it per se, but I gave scriptures. The first scripture I said is in John chapter, 1 John chapter 5. He said there's a sin unto death and a sin not unto death.
Right.
We went over that, how he was talking about, we're going to go back over that, but he was talking to the Gnostics. We touched on how the whole John, first apostle of John, and even the gospel of John, was speaking to the people in his generation that was teaching false doctrine, and there was a strong movement back then called the Gnostics. We touched on that, and he was talking about when he said there's a sin unto death, and he said these people that's practicing this particular sin, he said, don't pray for them.
That's right. Mm.
He said, don't pray for those type of people. Mm-hmm. And these people were teaching false doctrine. Right? So it's all sin the same. If there's a sin unto death and a sin not unto death. It's all sin the same. So we touched on that, right? Mm-hmm. Then we went into, let me see here. We start, and then we went into, all right, the sin of false teaching and what leads some of the false teachers into teaching a different gospel. Mm. We touched on that, right? Mm-hmm. Then we highlighted the specific kind of sin that the children of Israel committed, continued to commit in the Old Testament. And those two sins that we highlighted, two specific sins were iniquity and transgressions, right? Iniquity, I want to stop there for a minute. Something I didn't say last week, I want to say this week. When the children of Israel committed iniquity, we harbored on the fact that God began to count their sins from that moment on. Mm-hmm. Why wasn't he counting prior to that? Because God set up a system under the Mosaic covenant. This system consisted of the Levitical priesthood, right? Mm-hmm. Levitical priesthood, and we touched on this in this ministry, so I'm reiterating it again. The Levitical priesthood would come in 24 priests at a time, and they would sacrifice sacrifices for the children of Israel's sin, right? This was the lambs and the bulls. 24 would go out, 24 would come in. 24 would go out, 24 would come in. And this never stopped. And they all, this was their duty if you was a part of the Levitical priesthood. And this continued on as long as you were under the Mosaic covenant, your sins were covered under the system that God designed for the children of Israel's sins, right? Now, God, though, when they got and they went under the sin of Jeroboam and they began to deviate to the sin of Baal worship, God began to count their sins. Now, Jeroboam had a priest. He had priests. And they said he had a system that he designed, but it was counterfeit. See, Satan's job is to get us from under the truth where we're covered into a counterfeit kind of teaching, so we're not covered.
It's powerful.
No matter how morally you got it together, it's not about us because the children of Israel kept sinning. That's why the priests had to keep coming. And they would come. And 20 again would come and never stop until they said there was no seats. Oh, we always climax in Hebrews chapter 1. They said there was no seats in the temple. The temple had no seats because they didn't sit down. It was a costly offering, right? They said, but when Jesus offered himself once for our sins, he sat down. Amen? It was done. They couldn't sit there.
That's right.
24 go out, 24 come back. Christ did it once.
That's what he do.
And sat down. That's why we under a new and better covenant. But my point is, right? We highlighted and we basically touched on the two specific sins that the children of Israel kept struggling with in the Old Testament. And that was the sin of iniquity and the sin of transgressions, right? And we highlighted and we touched on this those two things, right? And again, the sin of iniquity led people under false doctrine. And once you're under falsehood, your sins are not covered. You're exposed no matter what. See, Satan's job, one thing about Satan, again, we touched on it. His job is to get you to think you're doing right when you're doing wrong.
Wow.
That's his
job. He wants you to believe you're good. That's his job. Yeah, you're fine when you're out there. A lot of people, I was looking at some serious men of God. There was one guy, Jehud, I think, right? And Baal worship was a counterfeit religion started by Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam knew it was fake. But the people who came up under it, like, you know, the people serving up under Jehovah Witness and Charles Taze Russell, I'm sure Charles Taze and them guys knew they was charlatans. They knew they was about that paper, right? But the point is, the lot of people that came five and four generations later, they don't know no better.
That's right.
And that's what Satan does, is that he trickles that false doctrine down till it gets to us, and it stays in our spirit. See, we touched on this last week. When somebody we love and somebody we care about teach us something, we trust them. So it's so hard to turn away from it, and I see it when you look at a guy by the name of Jehu. God called him and gave him, you know, called him and said, look, man, this is what I need you to do. And even though he did go out there and do what God said, the Bible says he never departed from the sins of Jeroboam.
Kept it going.
He stayed with it. And the spirit, he kept it in there. And that's what happens to us. But God want to get that false teaching out.
Amen.
Even though he calls some of us sometimes and we step out and we try to do stuff for the Lord, we can't do it with that stuff. We got to get rid of it.
Yes.
It's powerful.
Yes.
Some of us try to keep it and hold on to it, not tell nobody, like Jehu. But the Bible says he never departed from the sins of Jeroboam, the meaning of Baal worship. Because his mama and daddy told him, son, this is God. This is what God wants from you, baby. And they rose him up, and even though when God stepped to him, God said, look, Jehu, put that nonsense down. This is what I need you to do.
That's right. That's what it says. Amen.
And he dealt with some other false worship, though. But the sins of Baal, Jeroboam, he didn't depart from.
He held on.
He held on to that. And Satan is he's a master counterfeiter. He's a master counterfeiter. But anyway, okay, we highlighted that. But we got to the part, where we got to? In Matthew. We left in Matthew chapter. I want to climax this message. Matthew 5:20. Let's go there. We touched on the fact that Jesus spoke about degrees. And he spoke about certain sins that were being committed by the children of Israel and the consequences. There were like degrees there. We see that Jesus touched on degrees of sin. And what happens? Like the, he said, for this sin, they'll be in danger of the council. For this sin, they'll be in danger of this. For that sin, they'll be in danger of the hellfire. So what is that? That's degrees, right? Now, but we got to understand one thing, though. Again, we highlighted last week that Jesus was born under the law.
That's right. This is true.
And the gospel, believe it or not, the New Testament, a lot of people don't know this, don't start until after the cross. Not before the cross. When Jesus came, he came to bring everybody under, because of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and what they were teaching, the crimes they was committing against the Lord, they had to answer for. 80% of his messages was geared towards the crimes they was committing against the Lord Moses.
Amen, that's right.
And he had to call them to account for it.
That's right. They'd call them.
So Jesus kept the law? Yes, he did. The Bible says he was the only man to keep
the law. Right.
Amen.
And when he died, he redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Amen.
And that ushered in the new covenant.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right,
brother.
Amen.
Now 5:20. Anybody there?
Yeah. Amen.
Let's read it.
Is it chapter 5?
Yes.
Verse 20. Okay, I'll read. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Last week we harbored on, I'm just emphasizing, I'm going to run through this quick, is that the Pharisees had their own righteousness. They was as righteous as a man could get on his own terms, right? They didn't drink. They didn't commit adultery. They didn't steal. They paid their tithes. They were morally correct. But spiritually incorrect. I'm going to say that again. They were morally correct, but spiritually incorrect. Jesus was completely frustrated with these guys. Why? Because Jesus knew that the only way they can know him and know the Lord was through his righteousness.
Amen.
See, when man thinks that they can obtain a righteousness on their own, that is a fallacy. That is false. The only righteousness that God accepts from us is the righteousness of Christ.
That's right.
We don't have our own righteousness.
That's right.
The Bible says that the good works that we do even in Christ was before ordained by God that we shall do. We can't even take credit for our work. I can't take credit for preaching to y'all right now. God did.
Amen.
He set me up.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
we want to take credit, though. Amen. We want to think it's something so cute and so nice about us, so great about us.
Come
and
on.
The Bible says, me and a brother from that I was in prison with, we used to write each other. And at the end of our letters, we used to always say, filthy, wretched worm,
Amen.
Saved by grace.
That's right.
God bless you. Because that's all we have really.
That's right.
Wretched worm. I was debating. I said to Mike a long time ago, I said, I was thinking about wretched worm ministry. A hard drive.
Wretched
I said, wretched worm. Because I want people to know ain't nothing about us. We wretched.
That's
right.
Mike has always said that we proud dirt that God been good to. Amen.
That's right.
We ain't nobody. I used to get mad at Mike, right? Always be mad at him. I'd be like, Mike, I'd be rebuking him. He'd just look at me, right? He'd be like, brother, let me just tell you, brother. I ain't nothing but dirt, proud dirt that God been good to. And I just stop. My words get stuck. I'd be like, you know what, brother? Just forget it, man. Forget it, right?
That's it.
Right? Because we start thinking of each other. And we think of men and we look at them like they're so great, not realizing that they're just vessels. Let me make my point to you. Mary, Jesus' mama, that the Roman Catholics highly emphasize, you know, she didn't even believe. She struggled with him being who he was. And she had him supernaturally. She had him without the help of a man.
That's right.
You would think she was like, look, let me tell y'all something. My son is God. I had him.
That's right.
When I was a virgin, she didn't do it. All she saw was her. She couldn't understand. The mind couldn't. We think because people know and certain have certain experiences with God. They know, but she was just a vessel. That's all. We get so caught in Roman Catholic Church, Hail Mary, mother. Jesus ain't even call her mom.
That's right. Because he knew.
I know he knew what they would do to her. Because every time she would talk to him, he'd be like, woman, what do you want?
Yes.
Mm. What? Yeah. Right? She kept my baby. Go ahead with that. Jesus, you know who I am. Get out of here. Get him fall in line with all power of a disciple. You was just a vessel. We have to know what we are. Even in John the Baptist, we preached this in one of our messages, and all that he was doing and how much of a powerful man of God he was. They said when he was getting ready to be beheaded, he said, yo, tell Jesus, is he the one? Or should I be looking for somebody else? Then why am I here? Get ready to get my head cut off. He panicked. Sure, right? He's scheming, because he was just a vessel too.
Amen.
We look too much on people. We give too much people too much credibility. That's why I should always tell Mike. So, Mike, I said, he tell you, don't follow me. Follow Christ.
Right? Amen. Follow Jesus.
Follow me, I'll lead you into a ditch.
That's it.
Leave you there. Get out! Throw a rope down. Nah. You're on your own, bro. Nah. Right? Because the flesh, right, is pathetically weak.
Yes.
We put too much confidence.
Yes. Amen.
You know, even me, I look in the mirror 9 times a day. I'm 50 years old. I'm on the downside now, right? But the flesh convinces me that I still got it. The flesh will tell you stuff that is not true. And we'll be believing it. Come on, y'all. We'll be like, yeah, I know. No, you ain't nobody. Paul says it. Paul says if a man think he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. I love this. Every time I get arrogant about me feeling myself, I hear that scripture in my mind. I be like, all right, Lord, I'm going to tone it down. Bring it down, son. You're right. I ain't nobody. I ain't nobody. Because we start feeling like we somebody. You know? One thing about Satan, he's a professional liar. Yes. Amen?
Yes, brother. Amen.
But let's read the rest of this. Let me fly through this before I get stuck. He said, you have heard it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whoever so is angry with his brother, without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, right? And whosoever say to his brother, Rakai, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever say to his brother, you fool, shall be in danger of the hellfire, right? Mm-hmm. So he went into these different degrees what people would be in danger of. Right? Now, in all actuality, he wasn't really talking to the church. Mm. He was talking to the crimes they was committing, to the Pharisees, for the crimes they was committing against the law of Moses, because they were hard on people.
That's right.
I remember one scripture, Jesus said, the man said, Lord, I'm so happy I'm not like that dude over there. I pay my tithes. I do this, I do that. And Jesus said, God don't hear that person. He said, the person over there saying, Lord, I couldn't even lift up his head. I'm so unworthy. I feel so wretched. He said, that man is more justified than that dude think he got it all together. The Pharisees thought they had it all together because they thought their righteousness could get them in, and they were delusional. Amen? One thing about sin, it makes us delusional. We got a message on that, too. Now, let's go to the climax. So, degrees. That's the degrees. Is all sin the same? No, it's not. But I'm going to give you more. Give you some more to go with it. Just want to just see if I can find it. I got it. Okay, I got it. Let's turn to John 1. Let's go back to John. And we spoke about how the Gnostics really got on John's nerves. He was an old man when he was dealing with the Gnostic movement. Mm-hmm. And it was a very strong movement. And he had a lot of followers. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were listening, a lot of ears. And John was old. And Peter and all of them was with the Lord. But he was stuck there with the disciples. But he was the last of the pioneers, so he would get letters, and they would talk to him. They'd be like, John, these guys are saying this, these guys are saying that. And John had to respond back. One thing about John, and we harbored on John in the other two segments of this lesson, is that John was not a scholarly man. Mm-hmm. He was a regular guy.
Right.
He wasn't like a Paul. You got to understand, Paul was a... It's like, they said he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. It's like he went to Harvard.
Yeah, he was...
He's a very learned, very educated guy. Mm-hmm. Not John and them. The Holy Spirit educated them. Mm-hmm. So he didn't break down everything. That's why we miss a lot in John. We be reading John and just taking it this with that mean and we'll just run with it. But John, you really got to do your homework with the first epistle of John, because there's a lot in there that we miss and we don't understand what was going on in his day. Mm-hmm. And his time, what he was dealing with. Mm-hmm. And that whole letter basically is against the Gnostic movement. We don't know that. We think John talking to me, because, you know, today I had some problems at work. No, he's talking to the body of Christ that was going through all that drama back then. And he says some things I think we should learn and really understand, because we miss them. And we don't understand why the scripture was written and who it was written to and what was going on. Sometimes we miss it. We wasn't there. It was a different generation, a different time. Even though God's word is timeless, we need to get the right understanding. Mm-hmm. That we make the right, so we can make the right application. Amen? Mm-hmm. John 1, we're going to start at John 1, verse 6 and 7. Alejandro.
Amen. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light...
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry right there. I skipped you. I went too far ahead. No, go ahead. Keep writing. Keep reading that. I'm sorry.
I'm going to start at 6 again. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the dark.
No, start at verse 5.
This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is the light, and in him is so darkness. There's no darkness at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Go ahead.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Stop right there. He said, if we say we have no sin, first he said, if we walk in darkness. Mm-hmm. So automatically, what do we attribute that to? A sinful life. Mm-hmm. But then John is saying, if you say you don't have no sin, you deceive me. What is he talking about? Right. See, there was something going on back then. Mm-hmm. And if we don't understand what was going on or who he was writing to, we'll miss the scripture in its totality, right? Mm-hmm. Now look right here. Let me read this to you. Let me get your mind where there so you'll understand. It said the Gnostics believe, right, that they had no sin. Mm. I mean, the Gnostics did not claim that they had never sinned or committed wrongful acts, but they denied that the sin principle had a lasting power over them or even had presence in them, right? And they had attained a superior spiritual enlightenment. And John said, basically, that's a bunch of BS, right? In other words, they said once they became believers, they didn't sin no more. Mm. Somebody, I debated somebody on that a long time ago, told me, I'm born again, brother, I don't sin no more. I said, are you getting old? He said, yes. I said, that's because the curse is still on you, right? You wearing glasses, your eyes, like, I can't see like I used to when I was 20. That's this curse. That's because the curse is on you, right? You begin to get old, you're dying. That is the curse that's still on you, body, right? I said, brother, you're dying, right? You're going to die. Yeah, then the curse of sin is still on you. It's there, right? Mm-hmm. So John is saying, not really to that level, but I was trying to make a point to this guy. You're still a sinner. The curse is on you, so you ain't got your new body yet.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
But John was saying that these people, the Gnostics, believed that they didn't sin.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, BS. He said they believe that sin wasn't in them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And people who believe that they don't sin, he said, are walking in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Because Christians know better.
Amen.
We know that we're saved by grace. We know that as we confess our sins. Because we taught in this Bible study, in repentance.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference from when you repent. Repenting and confessing is two different actions.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Repent is a one-time action, meaning what? When John the Baptist came and was telling the children of Israel to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Pharisees came to him and he said, "You vipers and snakes." So who has warned you? In other words, what was he talking about? There was like the teachings that was going on. They said like there's a 400-year gap before John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. There was no authentic word from the Lord. People was just winging, right? Mm-hmm. So here comes John the Baptist. And the first thing he says, after 400 years where people not hearing the word of God and really understanding it like a genuine word, he said, y'all got to repent. Meaning, repentance, the Bible says in the Greek, if you look at it, it's an act of the mind. Mm-hmm. The Bible says with the mind I serve God, yes, right? Yes. It's not an act of the will. It's an act of the mind, yes, right? The Bible, John was saying the things y'all thinking about God and how y'all perceiving this thing and what they're teaching today, the Pharisaic movement is wrong.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Y'all have to repent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In order to understand God, we got to have our minds changed or renewed, the Bible says.
Yes.
Because we can't serve God just with morality like the Pharisees. Their minds wasn't right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. The way they was thinking about God and how he was perceiving doctrine and teaching, it was incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So John said, you got to repent. All that stuff y'all teaching and believing, repent, right?
Mm-hmm.
But confession is something else.
Right.
Once we repent and become born again, confession is a constant thing. As we fail and fall, as we confess our sin, it's like it's identical to the guilt offering in the Old Testament. They had a guilt offering. That offering is because you don't feel guilty. We can't serve God feeling guilty. Because sin makes us feel guilty. He's like, oh man, I don't even want to go to Bible studies. I don't want to read my word. I'm just so unworthy. I'm so guilty. But as we confess our crimes and our sins against God, he renews his fellowship with us. And that keeps us in right standing with God as we confess. And not only that, as we confess our faults one to another, the Bible says, so you may be healed.
Amen.
We have to say we're wrong. We have to say we're sorry.
Amen.
We can't go on like we just good all
Amen.
The time. Like we don't do nothing wrong.
That's
John
right.
is letting you know that,
that's
right? He said, anybody that don't believe this is still walking in darkness. Amen? But I'm going to make
Amen,
a point.
Brother.
I'm going to bring that home. Right? It says, I like what he says here, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, when the sin principle is denied by the so-called believer, truth as a principle of life cannot exist in us. Let me say that again. I thought that was powerful when I read that. He said, when the sin principle is denied that we are sinners, saved by grace,
right?
He said, by the so-called believer, he said, truth as a principle of life cannot exist in us. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to understand, this is what John is saying, them dudes, what they say? They ain't sinning. They don't sin. What?
Right.
He said, because they walking in darkness. Because if they was in the light, they would know this. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it says again, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing our sin is a part of our relationship with Jesus. We have to confess our sins to God.
Amen.
We have to confess our faults to each other.
Amen. Amen.
It's a constant thing. Why do you think when Peter came to Jesus, how many times, if somebody keep getting on my nerves, Lord, when can I cut them off? Jesus said, never, man. 7 times 7. He used that number 7 again. That number 7 is God's number of infinity. Look it up. Amen.
That's right, brother. Amen.
Now.
Amen. That's a good word, brother.
The Bible says cleanse us, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let me see. Okay, now this is what I wanted to bring out, right? I'm going to climax it now. We're going to hit home. There's two words I mentioned earlier in when we first started. Iniquity and transgression. Iniquity and trust. One thing Christ did for us, I'm going to bring out one thing Christ did for us that the old covenant couldn't do for the children of Israel. See, the children of Israel kept falling into those two sins. The sin of iniquity and the sin of transgression. This was a common thing. And God wanted to deal with that once and for all. And he did. Amen? Prove it to you. Go to Isaiah 53:5. Isaiah 53:5. Anybody there? You can read it. I don't want to read it this time.
Okay. Says, okay, but he was wounded for our transgressions.
Who's he, Brother Mike?
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Amen.
And with his stripes we are healed.
Now he said he was wounded for what? On the cross?
Our transgressions.
And bruised, see, in Christ dealt with that problem. This is what I want to... The problem that the Old Testament, this is why the Bible said we under the new and better covenant.
Amen.
Those two things, iniquity and transgression, them things, children of Israel kept falling under, Christ dealt with it on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
He said we were healed.
Yes.
See, John understood that the born-again believer, we know this. We ain't, and I'm going to climax that because the children of Israel kept falling into those two things.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But the born, what two things the born-again believer ain't going to fall into is iniquity and transgression.
That's powerful.
We broke those two words down again earlier when y'all, I'm sorry, brother and sister wasn't here. Right? Mm. That stuff ain't going to come up no more.
Mm.
Those two things ain't, don't apply to the born-again believer, and I'm going to prove it to you right now. Somebody say, prove it, preacher. I like when people say that. They challenge me. Okay, we're going to prove it. Uh-oh, I got the script. Okay. That's why John said later in the segment, right? He said this to them. He said they went out from us because they was never of us.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful.
He said, if they were of us. Because he said the Gnostic movement, they all started. We spoke about the four soils, how we all start together. Mm-hmm. Certain people mm-hmm. all, but then we go in four different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And only one of them directions lead to God.
Mm-hmm.
The other three go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And one of the directions that we highlighted leads into false teaching and false doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? John said those type of people, even though they started out in Christ, even though they seemed real, because it said they had a zeal from God in the beginning. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, these type of people was like, praise God. Wow. They was right there with you, right? Mm-hmm. And they was banging with you for Christ. And then they somehow they deviated. He said the reason why they went out from us, he said, because they never was of us. Mm-hmm. He said, if they was of us, they'll be here now. Mm-hmm. They will remain. They will understand what I'm telling you. They mm-hmm. will receive the
mm-hmm.
truth.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because Christ dealt with those two things.
Amen.
Mm. Two of those sins that we highlight in the Old Testament, transgression and iniquity, Christ beat that. He knocked that out of the park.
Hallelujah.
We don't, born-again Christians, we don't go through that type of thing. That stuff don't apply to us.
Mm.
Yeah, is all sin the same? No. Does God deal with sinners in different things? Different. But it boils down to this, and this is where I want to climax, right? That there's two kind of people, and I said this in the opening, there's the unregenerate sinner, right? And the born-again sinner.
Amen.
Both are sinners, but one of them go to hell. Mm-hmm. One of them don't.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen, brother.
Amen. Amen. That's it right there. God bless you. I pray that you enjoyed the message. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you.